Thank you, choir. Before I read our text this morning, church, I want to ask you a rhetorical question for you to think about. And that is regarding your personal relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. Are you just attached, or rather, are you wholeheartedly committed? You see, there's a big difference between those two. Many people are just attached rather than committed. They attend church, and it's likely at some point along the way in their life, they walk the aisle, they join the church, they were baptized, but they're not personally committed to Jesus Christ and His church, as He calls them to be. That is, they're really not living their life for Jesus Christ and His church. In our first scripture, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9a, we read, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." And then in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 35 through 37, we read these words, "One of them, an expert in the law, tested Him with this question, 'Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?' And Jesus replied with these words, 'Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment.'" When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, He stated that it was to love God. To love God is the greatest of virtues. To be loved by God is the greatest of blessings. You see, you can't truly love God without being completely committed to Him. Sure, we can nod our heads when God speaks to us through our devotional time, when we worship Him in church, or even when we are in a Bible study. Yet, if we do not obey the commands God gives us by being committed to Him and His church, our faith is dead, and our love for Him is empty. Many people throughout their life have made a commitment to God, but yet still they are not fully committed to God. For those who are fully committed to Him, He will be committed to strengthening them and empowering them. This is far too important for us to miss, church. In other words, when we commit our lives to honoring Christ, He will honor us in return. If you sow in the service of the Lord, you will reap in the service of the Lord. To be attached to something means you are joined to it, you are fastened to it, or you are connected to something. Those who are just attached to Christ and His church are what Dr. Elton Trueblood, the great Quaker theologian of the past century, described as a stained glass foxhole. Now, understand that foxholes are places where soldiers would seek shelter from the battle around them. But his analogy describes a foxhole Christianity. That is, its faith isolated from and uninvolved with its surrounding community. He's also said this, "What happens far too often in modern churches amounts to a little more than church members meeting together Sunday morning, washing their own car just to return home." To be committed, however, means you are dedicated and you have a loyalty to a cause, an activity, or job. Wholeheartedly dedicated. Did you hear those last two words of what committed means, church? It means to be wholeheartedly dedicated to Christ and His church. And I wonder, how is it with each of us this morning? Are we wholeheartedly dedicated to Jesus Christ and His church? In the Greek, the word committed indicates a continuous action towards something that is not yet completed. That is to say, being committed to Christ is a lifelong project, allowing God to do that which He continually wants to do through your life. A committed person will stick with something through until it is completely finished. They stick with a person or thing through the good and bad. You can count on them. A cartoon showed a picture of a woman lying in her sick bed. Obviously, she was in misery. In this sink were stacked piles of dirty dishes, a huge box, self-love, self-will, and self-pride. To different people, this means different things. To one person, self may mean intellectual pride. To another, it may be pleasure. For another, business or family may come before Jesus Christ. We can sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," till the cows come home, but if we're not living those words out daily in our lives, it's pointless. The denial of self means to renounce self and accept Christ as master of our lives. That is to cease living a self-centered life. It means that we die to the world's riches, its amusements, its pleasures, its powers, and its honors. The only object in our life should be to let Christ be honored and glorified in our life through our commitment to Him and His service. Has that happened in your life personally? Have you made such an irrevocable commitment as that? Have you asked God, "What is it, Lord, that you want to do with my life? What do you want to do with me? How is it that you want to use me, your child, to further your kingdom and bring glory to your name?" There is a disease which probably you have heard very little or nothing about, even though it's been around for over 2,000 years. The name of the disease is morbus sabbatitis, and it's Latin for Sunday sickness. You didn't know it was such a disease, but there is. Let me explain it. The strange thing is it only affects church members. And here's the symptoms. It never interferes the appetite. It never lasts more than 24 hours. And it's usually only Sundays until noon or shortly thereafter. It doesn't keep you from doing any other thing you choose to do. No physician is ever called, and it is contagious. The disease control in Atlanta has yet to find a cure for it. Individuals and their entire families are affected by morbus sabbatitis. They feel totally normal and healthy on Saturday night. They awaken Sunday morning feeling fine. They eat a hearty breakfast, and then around 8 o'clock, the disease strikes with a vengeance. And it lasts until noon. In the afternoon, however, those affected that morning are much improved. They're able to get up. They read the Sunday newspaper. They watch a football game. They're on the golf course playing a round of golf. They're at the pond fishing, or they took a ride down to the coast for the afternoon. They eat a hearty meal that evening. They go to bed at their regular time. They feel perfectly fine. Monday morning comes around. They awaken. They feel great. They're totally rested and ready for a new week at work. They get out of bed. They eat breakfast. They dress, and on to work they go. They feel fine. I've heard folks say time and time again, it's the 21st century. Times have changed. Our lives are busier. We don't have time now. It's not the same as it was 15 or 20 years ago. That may be true to a degree. Life may be busier. Things are more commercialized. But the fact of the matter is, church, we all make commitments to the things for which we commit to or want to commit to without a second thought. So I wonder, why is it people have to give a second thought and try to come up with excuse after excuse after excuse why they can't personally commit to God and what He is calling them to do in their personal life and for His church? People may change, but God changes not. God's word and His love for you is just as real today, church, as it was when it was written over 2,000 years ago. And God's mission for Tranway Baptist Church, or any church for that matter, will not be complete until Jesus Christ comes back for his faithful and committed servants. And if you are going to be committed to Jesus Christ and his church, you can't live your life the way you want to live it. You see, Christ has work that he wants to do through you, and therefore he needs you to lay down your life and be fully committed to him and his church. And I wonder, church, what may would happen if everyone that's here this morning would show up Wednesday evening and pray for the church and for the community. What would happen if we prayed for our church staff, our lay leadership, and our church every single day? It is not difficult to see that God would infuse his church with such power that we would have a tremendous impact in our community. W.W. Ayer in Christian Digest wrote, "The quickest way for a church to get on its feet is for it to get on its knees. Prayer is why the early church was all in one accord. No church that is genuinely committed in prayer can be divided in its purpose. God wants us to be committed to him so the world may know that he is important to us. Our commitment to him and our witness. Our commitment to him tells the world how important he is in our lives." Think about it, church. If something is important to us, what do? We commit ourselves to it. If you like or love something, you commit time to that thing. If your job is important to you, what do? You get up, go to work. You commit to that job. If your family is important to you, you commit time to your family and meeting their needs. If a person is important to you, you commit time to being spent with them. And if your health is important to you, you try to eat healthy and exercise. Whatever is important to you, you commit yourself to it. We may say something is important to us, but if we do not commit time to it, it's obviously not important to us. I wonder, is attending church a permanent appointment on your calendar? Or is it just penciled in case nothing else is vying for your time on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings? To quote Dwight L. Moody, church attendance is as vital to a Christian as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood is to a sick man. Does God get 10% of your time, or does he do good to get 1 hour on Sunday mornings? Is God the first recipient of the resources that he is the one that blesses you with, or does he get 10% of what's left over when you sit down in the church on Sunday morning? And you might be sitting here saying, wait a minute, 10% of my time, 10% of my money? Yeah, that's right. Perhaps you never took the time to think about the depth of the commitment Christ made for you. One of the most well-known verses in God's Word is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Church, without this priceless sacrificial commitment that Christ made for all of us, we would be destined to burn in hell. And yet all he asks in return is 10%. In Malachi 3:10, he wrote, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse," meaning the sanctuary, "that there may be food in my house." And then he says, "Test me on this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing, there will not be room enough to store it." If every member of Tranway Baptist Church wholeheartedly committed themselves and their resources to God's service, we would not be able to contain the blessings Christ would pour out on his church. Amen? William Carey, often called the father of modern missions, was a shoe cobbler by trade before he went to India. He kept a map of India in his shop, stopping ever so often to study and pray over it. Sometimes because of his preaching ministry, his shoe business suffered. One day, a friend admonished him for neglecting his business. And he responded, "Neglecting my business?" Looking at his friend intently, "My business is to extend the kingdom of God. I only cobble shoes to pay expenses." No matter what your occupation may be, church, every Christian should have Carey's mentality. "My real business is to extend the kingdom of God. I only work to pay expenses." It has been said time and time again, if you are not committed to anything, you will not amount to anything. Commitments affect what your life will be or become. Today, your life is the grand total of your previous commitments. Whatever it is you came here this morning with is the product of what you spent your time on becoming yesterday. If you are a doctor, it's because you spent time studying medicine. If you are a lawyer, it's because you spent time studying law. Whatever you want to be successful in, you must have to commit time to it. That means if at the end of your journey here on earth, you want to hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," you must live your life fully committed to Christ. And to be fully committed to Christ means Jesus Christ has to be first, absolutely first in your life. If Jesus is not Lord of all in your life, he's not Lord at all in your life. I'll repeat that. If Jesus is not Lord of all in your life, he's not Lord at all in your life. Jesus cannot be almost first, he must be always first. For by committing yourself to Jesus Christ and putting him first, then you will be storing up treasures in heaven. And on earth, you will be receiving a blessing from him every day. What we commit and how we commit shows how much we value our relationship with Jesus Christ. Really, it simply just tells God how much we really love him. When we are committed to serving Christ and his church, we show that he is important to us. To say it another way, it is our witness in this world. Listen to me, church, this is very important, and if you don't hear anything else I've said this morning, I want you to hear this. When you come to church for Sunday school, for worship, for Bible study, for choir rehearsal, to serve on a committee, to work at a church function, you are witnessing to the world by your commitment of time that God is important to you in your life. You are telling the world that you love the Lord enough to give him the most precious commodity you have, and that is your time. In doing so, you will also show that the church is important to you and that the God who created you and gave his one and only Son on the cross at Calvary for your sins is important to you also. Stan Mikita, a former star center for the Chicago Blackhawks hockey team, used to get in a lot of fights during his games. He stopped one day when his daughter, Meg, who was 8 at the time, asked a very grown-up question. And this was the question: "How can you score a goal, Daddy, when you're in the penalty box all of the time?" And if I might rephrase that question for us this morning, how can you be committed to serving the Lord if you aren't walking with the Lord? Listen, church, if you have trusted in Christ, you're on his team, meaning he has equipped you to serve him and his church. You and I are responsible to God for our commitment or lack thereof as it relates to us using the gifts and abilities that he has blessed us with for his service. Being fully committed to Jesus and making him first in our lives is important so he can help you become all that he has created you and me to be, and we can in turn be a witness for his glory. Because now is the time to be fully committed to Jesus Christ. Don't leave his house today without reconciling yourself to him if you feel that you have neglected your commitment to him or his church. Or if you have never made that commitment to him to begin with. He calls us to be committed to him with our lives and to commit our lives to him in his service. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just prompt each one of us in our daily lives to commit our hearts, our minds, our souls to you, Lord, to be used for your glory and your honor in your service, however it is, Lord, that you have called us to serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing our invitational hymn. But this invitational time isn't just the last part of our service. It's an opportunity for you to recommit your life to Christ and his church. Perhaps you're here this morning and you have never made that commitment to Christ, that you have never asked him to forgive you for your sins and to commit your life to Jesus. If that's you, then this time is designated especially to you to commit to him. Perhaps you just need to come to the altar and kneel before God. However the Lord is leading you this morning, I pray that you will be obedient to his call as we stand and sing the invitational hymn number 287, Take My Life, Lead Me, Lord.